Today, we're going to reveal the secret to success. I'll give you a heads up. It's just hard work and hustle. That's all there is to it. The grind, and you will be successful.
I feel it burning deep in
my guys,
soul.
Jeff here. Welcome to Publisher Perish FM, the program for marketing-minded sales leaders and sales-minded marketing leaders. Episode slow. 30 today, the big 3-0. And it's November 20th, 2015. I can't believe it, right? It's amazing. End of the year, 2016 planning, we're deep in that mode. And one of the key learnings this week, and something I'm going to share with you here in our first segment, the key learning segment, all of your prospects and customers are literally, if not almost complete with 2016 planning, deep into 2016 planning. And now is the time to get in there and get your space in their budget, because you know, once budgets are set, in many cases, a tool could be so cool and so slick, but it just doesn't work right within the constraints of the budgeting system. An example I have here is our sales stack, right? So we have a sales stack, everything you know, hanging off of Salesforce, from contact research all the way through to sales communication tools. So you know, we're talking ZoomInfo to RingLead to TalentApp to Sales Navigator. And I'm definitely going to mix up my sales stack. So I do want to add a category, right? I believe, so for example, the guys at OneMob. Looks like a great product. I've had a couple of meetings with them. I'm definitely interested. Prioritization-wise, I just don't want to stick it in right now, and I have other fish to fry with the team. So it is something in 2016 I want to add, but look, if I'm OneMob and you're pitching me and you're, you know, any of the prospects you're working with, even if your prospect isn't ready to commit to you, the product, have them at least add the category into the budgeting sheet. So I'm going to submit a line item in my sales tools budget for video engagement. I firmly believe in video. That's the whole purpose of this channel, right? To drive engagement, to build trust and credibility by sharing your knowledge and expertise through video. Huge fan. I'm doing it, you know, through my methods here on YouTube, but the OneMob solution looks cool. I haven't dug in deep enough to really figure out exactly when and how I want to onboard it, but I know at some point it's realistic that I will. So I'm just going to plan on the category and not, you know, really commit to those guys. And that's just consistent. So really go for that category listing, at least in the budget line item. And same deal goes, I had an awesome meeting with our content search and social team yesterday. So more than 30 people in the room. We had a little innovation summit. We're jamming on where we're going to take, you know, take the business into 2016 across our web presence offerings. And we're going to mix it up. Big focus on activation, right? Big focus on social tools. And of course, we have a big focus on distribution as well. So activation and distribution is really critical, because all of us spend so much time producing such great content. That's just the start, right? You want to really continue perpetuating that content and really activating that content and making sure that content makes it across the relevant channels for your audience, and that the investment you pour into production really gets seen, and you're sharing that great knowledge and expertise. So that's a deal, 2016. And actually, oddly enough, today, this afternoon around 2:30, remember we talked about Johnny Kaplan from New Jersey last week? He's with EverString. He did, you know, I told him to go away, right? And just kind of set up his Twitter handle, set up his profile on LinkedIn properly, and, you know, just find a way to engage. He did an awesome job, right? He was throwing insights at me this week. He was commenting and making relevant comments on things I had posted. And I was like, yeah, John, let's book a meeting. So he booked the meeting with me today. And that's because he committed to sharing relevant insights and basically building upon things I was thinking about. And we connected at that level. And so I got to give kudos to John for acting so fast and just crushing it. So I'm looking forward to that meeting today. Speaking of that, I have, you know, two examples of what not to do, right? So I get, like I mentioned, I get sales emails, I get cold emails all the time. And I love evaluating them. I save them all. I have a folder for all the cold emails, and I share them with my team on basically, these are examples of good cold emails, and these are examples of horrible cold emails. And we're gonna dig into not a best practice, right? So what are the cold emails that really aren't a best practice? So here's one. I just got this yesterday. I wasn't going to use names, but I'm going to use names because, you know, I think it's just a great learning opportunity. So Caleb Powers from the Palladium Group. Hi, Jeff. I ran across your profile, wanted to reach out. I'm Caleb. We're a global strategic consulting firm founded by two guys I've never heard of. I'm sure they're great guys. We've worked with hundreds of senior teams. We build solutions. We've worked with Toyota, Cisco, Novartis. I'd love to share with other companies how I've helped, you know, this healthcare company crush it with a 127% CAGR over 5 years. Please let me know what works for you. Garbage. I'm sorry, Caleb. No offense, dude. We've never met. This is all about you and your company and how awesome you think your company is. I'm sure you guys are great guys. But there is absolutely nothing relevant in this email for me. Like, why do I care? And Toyota, Cisco, and Novartis are not my peers. They're also great companies. I don't care. What do I care about these guys? I don't know. Delete, right? You know what's funny is, you know, I open this, right? And we'll get into this in a second, but no reason for me to respond. We are a consulting firm. So if he even did his homework, he'd realize that we don't need his services because this is kind of the stuff we do. So that's interesting. He did mention Caleb, the subject line is Caleb Powers via the LinkedIn network. And he did say he ran across my profile. Well, I don't believe that. His opening sentence, I don't believe, because he did run across my profile. He'd noticed that I am an excessive oversharer and I post excessive amounts of information, you know, good information, right? And I even have an experiment I'm running on my LinkedIn profile right now. If a prospector goes to my profile and they don't have to go too deep, they'll find the key to setting a meeting with me. And that's an experiment I'm running. It's gonna be fun. I'll give you a report out here in a couple weeks, but so far no one's kind of found the trick to the experiment, except John Kaplan. John Kaplan has succeeded in the experiment. All right, so that's an example of what not to do here. And I don't know, right? I don't know these guys, so I really can't be too critical. Here's a really good one, and I'm gonna use names on this one. These guys absolutely should know what to do. I've seen them at Dreamforce. I've seen them at the Marketo Summit. I saw them at Sales Connect. I'm pretty sure they were at LinkedIn Sales Connect. So here we go. Landon Tracy. Landon, buddy. He opens. And all right, he's from Qualtrics, right? Qualtrics, I'm sure, is a good company. I've heard good things about them. Don't agree with their prospecting approach. Cold email. Hi, Jeff L., period, comma. First bad mistake. I know that you're just doing a name insertion in the email, but that's my trick. I always use my middle initial, and anytime I get an email that says, hi, Jeff L., I know there was no thought or customization put into it whatsoever because they just grabbed the field and dropped it in because no one calls me Jeff L., right? And even at the very bottom, they forgot to remove the I get my emails from Tout app. So I know these guys use Tout app. Oh, I get my emails done faster with Tout. We use Tout too. Guess what? When you're using a template, you can still eyeball the emails before you send them. It's really fast. And all you do is just kind of cut out, you know, just make little quick edits. So Landon really should have at least taken my middle initial out if he wanted me to think it was partially relevant. So, dude, you know, the body of the email itself is not bad. But basically, any type of market research they're offering, companies like JetBlue, Merrill Lynch, HP, I don't care, not my peer sets, data-driven decisions that affect the bottom line. You know what? Not a bad cold email, but just bad form, bad execution, right? So there was no personalization put into this. I know they have the tools to quickly personalize, so I know this is a volume game. That's the big agenda that we have to get out of this volume game of just excessive, you know, cold email blasting and the predictable revenue model. No offense, Aaron, but the predictable revenue model, you got to take it slow and be deliberate and your conversion rates will be much higher. So actually, and what's funny is this email, since it's a Tout app email, Landon's going to think that I'm a really interested prospect because I opened it, I clicked on it. Like, he's getting lots of signals back that show I even forwarded it, because I forwarded this as an example to my team of what not to do. So in their data, I'm going to look like a hot prospect. I probably have stars and flames next to my name in Salesforce or in Tout, but realistically, I'm just using this as not a great best practice. So sorry, Landon. Qualtrics should know better, right? You guys are at all the same shows I'm at. You kind of know what the space is like. You were at Sales Navigator. You should know better, right? I'm sorry to say that. And in fact, now that I think about it, I remember at the Marketo Summit last spring, I literally got my badge scanned because I think they had cool skateboards they were giving away. And within 5 minutes, they called me. They called my mobile. I was on the floor of the Marketo Summit, which is a pretty big summit. It's pretty noisy. They hit me on the floor trying to set up a meeting. I'm like, dude, I'm walking around with tchotchkes and just trying to do my own deal here. I appreciate the aggressive nature, but man, they were really, really a little excessive, right? That's just not cool. You got to be respectful and be mindful of your prospects. And that was not the great approach. So sure, they're great guys, great company, but just don't agree with the execution of the prospecting model. So the lead on that one too. All right, so let's keep moving. Let's just jump into the transformation segment right now, right? So here we are, we're on step 5 of 7. So we're walking through 7 steps to transform from a sales leader to a thought leader. And once again, why are we doing this? What's the point? We're elevating the sales profession. We wanna grow, right? And we wanna build trust and credibility and gain respect, because we are all very intelligent people that have a lot of great knowledge to share and applications to share. And we wanna illustrate our knowledge and expertise. So we're really committed, we're all committed here to build that profile of your knowledge and expertise to break through as a teacher and problem solver for your prospects. So we've hit goals, mission statements, themes, asset, content assets, and channels. Now we're on step 5 of 7, right? We're almost wrapping up the 7-step process. Step 5, make an appointment with your audience. Whatever you do, be consistent, be wildly consistent. And with your content strategy, one example here is it's Friday morning, it's 8 o'clock. I'm shooting a video and I'm committed, unless there's something really wrong, I will be shooting a video every Friday morning at 8 o'clock for the foreseeable future, as long as there's an audience and you guys are interested in this information. By the way, hi Paul, hi Lorena in the UK. Thanks for the cool notes this week. As long as there's feedback, as long as someone's interested in this, I'm gonna keep shooting it, because it's good for me to kind of express myself and just share my thoughts. And I wanna help all the prospectors and salespeople break through and elevate this profession. So anyway, that's the deal, but consistency is the key. And I'll use the example of the guys, Robert Rose and Joe Polizzi over at the Content Marketing Institute. These guys are globetrotters, right? They travel the world, great organization. The godfather, Joe is the godfather of content marketing. Robert is an awesome strategist, chief strategy officer, brilliant guy. I source him all the time. Like clockwork, no matter what, they show up and do the work. I don't care where they are, if they're traveling in Asia, if they're on vacation, their podcast posts every single week, most on Tuesday mornings, if not a couple hours here and there. But like clockwork, over the holidays, there's no break over the Christmas holiday. These guys deliver consistently. And that consistent delivery is the key to success. Being there, being consistent, putting in the work is the key to success. Why? We're all creatures of habit, right? We just like things that are consistent. We get comfortable and familiar. I love their content, which is really critical. They have high quality content. But the bottom line is they keep showing up, they keep doing the work, they keep adding tremendous value. And, you know, we're engaged, I'm engaged. And you know, here's the real key, right? The key statement is, if your audience, and insert the word customers, prospects, whatever, if they miss you when you're gone, you'll know that you're successful. And these guys, for example, on occasion, they've posted a couple hours late. They get tweets. Where's the episode this week? So that's really, really what we're striving to do, is be so consistent and be so dependable and reliable with the value you're adding and the knowledge you're sharing, that they'll miss you if you're gone. And I have several colleagues that are great examples. My colleague Jenna hammers out a weekly SEO newsletter every Thursday afternoon, no fail, no matter what. She's doing an awesome job building an appointment, setting an appointment, and keeping an appointment with her audience. So that's really the key. And here's another just quick thing about consistency. And speaking of Joe and Robert, they covered this in their podcast a couple weeks ago. Consistency, they say, is, you know, is also the key to success. That was one of the sources of inspiration here. But I also believe, to take it a step deeper, right? Let's go one level deeper. Why is consistency the key to success? It's just more at-bats. It's more sampling points. It's more time you stand up, deliver your message, share your thoughts, you know, really hone in and zero in on your key message points. And the more you deliver, the more you can refine. So consistency isn't only important just for showing up, but it's just like consistent practicing, right? And the more you throw a baseball, the more you dribble, the more you shoot free throws, whatever, even baking, right? The more you do something, you learn something a little bit new or a little nuance that you pick up and add into the next time, and you just progressively build and get better and better and better and better. And even this vlog, right? The production quality is horrible still, right? It's horrible. I'm a guy in my basement office with an iPhone. But look, episode 30 today, I'm sure towards episode 100, I'll look back at episode 30 and be terribly embarrassed. Whatever, I'm showing up, doing the work, hope it's valuable, and that's the deal. So enough on that topic. Let's move into the third segment. But I got to tell you, before we do, you know how you get a song in your head and you it just kind of sticks in your head and you just can't get it out? So here, I'll show you what song's been stuck in my head. It goes on. This is the build. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to do that. I think, all right. Sorry about that. That song, 70s funk rock. I don't know if that's not even funky. That's just like 70s rock. Been in my head. I think why? I watched Boogie Nights on Netflix just last week. Every bad 70s, oh, actually they're great 70s songs, but now I have like 70s rock stuck in my head. And then I found myself last night listening to Manfred Mann, Blinded by the Light. It's like, oh, and that guy's scary looking. I heard the song as a little kid, right? I'm born in 1970. I never knew what he looked like. I was freaked out, like, wow, that dude's scary. No offense, Manfred Mann, but I'm not sure if he's alive or not. Anyway, all right. Let's go. Last segment. Let's go. Segment 3, podcast recommendations. Self-promotional. I apologize in advance. But if you want, go over to Rainmaker FM and find the Missing Link podcast. And it's an awesome podcast by Sean Jackson and Micah Gadia. And they talk about LinkedIn and literally all the ways to leverage LinkedIn from a marketing, sales, and even operational standpoint. And this week, the episode that was released this Wednesday, the guest was this guy named Jeff. Me, right? So I had a blast. I recorded it last week. I'm actually going to break down that whole recording experience and kind of the preparation and the notes I had and how I went off book. And I, you know, went on kind of yammering a little too long in many cases. But I had a great time recording that podcast. It was lots of fun. First key takeaway my wife had is she said I sound like Kermit the Frog. So I need to work on my vocals, I guess, and speak from my diaphragm. So I'll just go find a YouTube video that talks about how to speak from your diaphragm, because I do tend to get squeaky when I get excited. So anyway, we covered lots of ground. Really, we talked about social selling. What is social selling? The origin of social selling and how you can be successful with it as far as building trust and credibility and just offering up relevant insights. We dug in deeply to the social selling index and really, once again, ways to coach around the social selling index. Had lots of fun explaining the social selling index and kind of decomposing the four elements of the social selling index. And especially, you know, Attribute number two, which is actually the hidden agenda of LinkedIn to measure the effectiveness of using Sales Navigator. That was kind of the tease throughout the program. Oh, and we even picked on Google, you know, and how Google destroyed the sales profession. So it was a lot of fun. Give it a listen, right? I think it's a great podcast. I love all the content coming out of Rainmaker Digital, formerly known as Copyblogger. They give and they offer so much value. I learn so much every single week. They're definitely tops on my playlist. Not only The Missing Link, the Showrunner podcast I love, Hack the Entrepreneur, Johnny Naster with Hack the Entrepreneur, and Jared Morris with the Showrunner with Johnny. Cool. Okay, so that's it. Hope you have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm grateful for everything that we have and the great relationships and the great family. So hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And, you know, two things to remember, right? Always give like you're going to get a recommendation on your LinkedIn profile. And got to say it. We hope you think like a marketer and sell like an animal. Have a great week.